Good afternoon and welcome to On the Docket. I'm your host, Patricia Salkin, Dean of Touro Law Center in Central Islip. Every Sunday at this time, we talk about current legal issues and how they affect you. Today on the docket, we're talking about health law and policy. We're joined by Ed Dower, Touro's Distinguished Visiting Professor in Health Law and Policy. He served as Dean and Professor of Law at the University of Denver in Denver, Colorado, and is an active mediator and arbitrator with more than 25 years' experience in the field of conflict resolution. Ed was the co-founder and first president of the National Center for Preventive Law. He's an elected member of the American Law Institute and served for over a decade as a visiting scholar at the Program on Healthcare Negotiation and Conflict Resolution at the Harvard School of Public Health. His scholarship includes two books in the field of healthcare alternative dispute resolution, and his honors include the W. Quinn Jordan Award from the National Blood Foundation and the Sandbar Lectureship from the American College of Legal Medicine. He received his undergraduate degree from Brown University, his law degree from Yale University, and a master's in public health from Harvard University. We're glad you could join us on the show today, Ed.
Thanks, Dean. I'm glad to be here.
Let's begin first with patient safety. You mentioned in your upcoming lecture that hospitals are not a safe place. Can you tell our audience what you mean by that, and can you share some statistics?
Sure. To put it in context, American hospitals pay a good deal of attention to the quality of care that their patients get, and on the whole, American medicine is remarkably good. But hospital-based healthcare is complex and complicated, and the patient population in a hospital is of people who are more fragile than most. And so when doctors or nurses make mistakes, or when the hospital's quality systems aren't perfect, the patients can be injured. Among people who work in patient safety, these are called preventable adverse events. And by way of statistics, some kinds of preventable adverse event happens in about 1.5 to 2% of every hospital admission, or of all hospital admissions. Most of them are minor, but some aren't. Some result in prolonging the hospital stay. Some complicate the treatment for whatever the condition or disease was the patient came in for. And some of these medical mistakes actually result in unnecessary patient deaths. The most recent estimates put the number of those deaths at about 100,000 or more nationwide, and the number of injuries other than the deaths is about 5 times higher than that. In terms of dollars, the lost productivity is huge, and lost productivity and medical costs run about $40 to $50 billion a year. And if we were to focus just on the 100,000 deaths that are lost every year from medical error, that's about twice the number of lives that are lost on all of America's highways every year taken together, and far more than all of the American lives lost during the entire Vietnamese War. So although healthcare on the whole is good in the United States, indeed very good, this is a major problem.
So a measured problem, and something that I know you have some suggestions for on how we could address that, and we'll get to that in a little while. But I'm wondering, just to make sure that we're all talking the same language here, could you talk about what medical practice liability is?
Sure. When a physician or any other healthcare provider, like a nurse or even the hospital, makes an error and the patient suffers some harm as a result of that error, the patient, under existing law, the medical malpractice liability law, has the right to bring a legal claim against the doctor. In New York, like in every other state, in order to win that claim and to be compensated for their injury, the patient has to prove that the doctor was negligent, which means that the mistake the doctor made was below the standard of care that we require doctors to live up to.
So what's the most frequent malpractice issue, if there are any trends, and what areas do you think they've made the most improvements in terms of safety?
Well, there's a difference between the most common mistakes we see in lawsuits and the most common mistakes that actually occur, so I'll mention both. Some of the most common mistakes that we see lawsuits brought for are things like delayed or incorrect diagnosis, or accidental lacerations or punctures during surgery, or injuries to a baby during the childbirth process. And despite the hospital's efforts to avoid them, there are still some cases where the surgery was done on the wrong patient, or where an incision was made in the wrong place. We call those wrong site surgeries. And there are still some cases that come up where an instrument or a sponge or something of the sort was left inside the body cavity. And these are the cases that tend to become the lawsuits, and that is the ones where the injuries are really very dramatic, like those. But the most common kinds of errors, indeed even more common than lawsuits, that happen inside hospitals include simpler things. Things like pressure ulcers that are caused to a patient when their bed care is not sufficient, and post-operative infections that you pick up in the hospital that you shouldn't, errors in medications, whether it be in the dosage or in the selection of the medication. You asked about trends and improvements. The major improvements we've seen seem to be in those simpler kinds of things, in medication errors and infection rates in particular, where the improvement has been quite dramatic recently, probably because in most places hospitals are required to report their infection rates, and those reports are made available to the public.
So how is the medical malpractice liability related to patient safety?
That's the main problem that I've been grappling with. When an injured patient sues a hospital or a doctor, the question is whether bringing that lawsuit helps make doctors or hospitals safer for patients in the future. Traditionally, many lawyers have thought that the risk of being sued makes healthcare providers more careful in order to avoid those suits. But what we've been learning recently is that the threat of malpractice liability, the threat of these lawsuits, may actually be doing more harm than good. Hospitals are trying to improve patient safety. They have a number of things they're doing. The efforts have been intensified in the last 10 or so years. And most of the law that applies to hospitals and that affects safety is very helpful. The law, so to speak, is a good partner with healthcare in trying to make healthcare safer. But medical malpractice liability in particular seems not to be a very good partner, not to be terribly helpful.
So what are the objectives of legal liability in healthcare?
Well, I think there are three, and I don't think this is controversial. One of them is that the liability laws provide a way that people who are injured can be compensated for those injuries. Winning a lawsuit can't make you well, but if you win it, it can replace the financial losses that were the result of your having been injured. The second function is the idea that holding doctors who make mistakes liable in court is a way in which medical care providers can be held accountable for their mistakes. And the third is that medical liability is supposed to have the effect that I just mentioned, which the legal system calls the deterrent effect. And that is, the risk of being sued is supposed to deter people from acting negligently so that they can avoid those lawsuits and claims.
So how well does the legal system actually serve these objectives?
In healthcare, not very well. In some areas of life, being held liable for negligence does work, but not so in healthcare. It's a very different kind of circumstance. If we just go through the three quickly, as a way to compensate patients, malpractice liability is really very inefficient, and it's often very unfair. For example, of all of the money spent on pursuing and defending a medical malpractice trial in court, only about 35 to 40 cents of every dollar that's spent on it ever gets to the patient. And the other 60 or 65 cents is used to pay for the experts and the lawyers and the insurance risk managers and the court costs and the rest of the apparatus that surrounds the medical liability process. And so it's really inefficient. And because malpractice claims cost an enormous amount to even start, people who have modest financial losses don't get into the system at all. Their cases just aren't financially viable, and that's mostly the elderly and people with lower incomes. So far as accountability goes, the incidence, the frequency of malpractice claims is a really small fraction of all of the errors that are actually made all of the medical errors. And so it really doesn't do much there at all. And in addition, a doctor who makes a mistake doesn't get sued unless the mistake was not only an error, but it also had to have caused a significant injury, or no lawsuit gets brought. So the liability system doesn't even address the largest number of mistakes and errors that actually happen out there. It's a very small portion of them. And as for deterrence, as I mentioned, the results of numerous independent studies that have tried to look at this suggest that for a variety of reasons, the threat of liability doesn't help, but may actually hurt healthcare's own efforts to become safer.
I want to thank you, Ed Dauer. Please stay with us, because coming up, we're going to continue our conversation about health law and policy. We're getting a preview of Ed Dauer's Gittenstein lecture on health law and public policy. You are listening to On the Docket with Torah Law Dean Patricia Salkin on Long Island News 103.9. Welcome back to On the Docket. This is Patricia Salkin from Torah Law Center, and I'm joined by Ed Dauer, the Toro's Distinguished Visiting Professor in Health Law and Policy. So, Ed, before the break, you were discussing your what I'll call big argument, the negligence-based liability, that negligence-based liability affirmatively gets in the way. But you also have a little argument. Can you fill us in on that?
Sure. What I call the big argument is that the medical liability laws we have today aren't helping. But even worse, they may actually be getting in the way of the healthcare system's own efforts to improve the safety of patients, particularly hospitalized patients. Exactly why that's occurring can get complex, but there's one very important, straightforward example of how it happens. Rather than making everyone be more careful, the risk of being sued by a patient tends to drive important information underground, so to speak. We know for certain that to make healthcare safer, we have to learn about where and when and why it's unsafe, and about how slips and mistakes and systems flaws come about, because unless we know that, we can't effectively design systems to prevent them. So all of that information about what's happening in today's event has to be fully disclosed if we're going to prevent it from happening again tomorrow. But many people in healthcare are afraid that if every flaw and every error is fully disclosed and reported, that will increase the chances that a patient will bring a lawsuit. And the consequences to healthcare providers of being sued can be extreme, and it's not always entirely fair. But in some cases, it can actually be career-ending for these people. And so error recognition and disclosure and the analysis of errors is actually impeded by this risk of liability being imposed. It's not that doctors are intellectually dishonest. I don't think that's the case. The effect is more subtle than that. The risk of punishment and the shame and all of its consequences distorts the recognition of errors when they do happen.
Mm. So, you know, in a sense, I guess we have to perhaps try to find a way to reward people for being honest and transparent and coming forward, and rewarding maybe in lessening perhaps some of the kinds of things that you raised as to the disincentives for coming forward. But this is big. I mean, you're talking about reforming systems. How do you think we should address these problems? Is it legislative? Is it through the courts?
Well, it has to be legislative, because it's exceedingly unlikely that something like this can be done by judicial decisions. Courts pretty much have to follow the traditional law that has been in place for so many years. Some hospitals are undertaking efforts that don't require any legal changes at all. They're putting in programs called communication and response programs. But even those programs are being impeded by what many people see as the punitive environment created by legal liability. And so it pretty much has to be done in the legislatures. If I may, Dean, I would like to get back to your question about what we're calling my little argument. And
sure.
I refer to it as little only because I think the major point is to recognize the problem, and it's actually a lesser point to think about the particulars of how it might be addressed. But if I can talk about that for just a minute, I think what we need to have is a process that is more efficient than the existing liability system is in compensating injured patients, and at the same time to have a way of making accountability more reliable and more fair. And at the same time, we need a legal environment which, as you've just noted, promotes learning and correction rather than punishment, rather than what some people have called the blame and shame effect of the medical liability laws we have today. The problem is that medical liability as we now have it links all of these different things together and tries to do them all at the same time, and that actually can't work. Just one quick example, if I may. An injured patient cannot be compensated, for example, unless they prove that their doctor was negligent. So on the one hand, proving that a doctor was negligent is a very costly thing to do. And so in order to hold the doctor accountable, the compensation objective becomes grossly inefficient because of those costs. And at the same time, to avoid being held liable, the doctor has to defend what they did and to deny that what they did was wrong. So in order to compensate the patient, we have a system that makes learning more difficult and that creates a punitive environment in which, among other things, disclosure programs are interfered with. To me, these are separate functions. Compensation, what I've called deterrence, that is preventing tomorrow's mistake by dealing correctly with today's, and accountability. These are all separate. And so instead of the liability system we now have, which puts them all together and gives you either one or the other, but not both, or all three at once, we need to look at ways of dealing with these separately so they don't get in each other's way. That's going to be hard to do, but it's possible.
So if it's possible, do you have any examples of where it's been tried elsewhere?
Yes. There are a couple of countries that have experimented with these in a major way. One of those is New Zealand, which actually deals with each of these three functions, the compensation function, the holding erring providers live accountable function, and the deterrence function, puts them actually in separate legal entities rather than all together in one place, and they proceed in separate ways. And the early reports, and they are early, and I need to say that, the early reports coming out of New Zealand are really very, very promising. We see physicians who, rather than ducking their patients when a problem arises, actually are becoming their patients' advocates in the compensation side because they know it's not necessarily linked to their own liability. And at the same time, what we're seeing is enormous amounts of information being generated because the risks of having that information disclosed are no longer present within the New Zealand system. In the United States, it would not be unheard of. We separate these functions in a couple of places. One of them is for workplace injuries, where we have a compensation system that is run completely independently from the administrative or regulatory process of workplace safety under organizations such as OSHA and others. And so it's not entirely unheard of in the United States to think about these as separate functions.
So do you think that it is politically feasible that it could happen?
Won't be easy. A lot of lawyers are in very good faith and honestly committed to the idea that the medical malpractice system we have now works for patients and that it works to improve patient safety. Empirically, as you know, I think that's not correct, but many lawyers believe that in good faith. And that's an understandable belief because it's probably true in many other areas of life. But it's just not true in the case of healthcare. And so the first step is to have that fact recognized in our thinking about change. And that's what's not going to be easy because the beliefs we have now are deeply embedded in a long legal history in the United States. What we've done, if we look at it over the years with respect to medical malpractice, is that we've taken liability laws that were developed in other areas, and we've just kind of plopped them on and applied them to healthcare with some modifications and improvements. But it's basically the law of what we call torts or civil liability that grew up in an area, a time of simpler kinds of injuries, and certainly not in the healthcare arena. So what we need to do, what our legislatures need to look at, is to work, so to speak, from the inside out, to start by understanding the way in which healthcare works and to ask if we were to design a set of legal responses to medical errors, what would they look like that would help healthcare and at the same time provide the compensation and other functions for patients? So that what that requires, I think, is extended conversations among physicians and lawyers and patients and policymakers. It's not something we can draft on the back of an envelope tomorrow. We know some ideas about where it might go, but the work is going to be hard, but it needs to begin.
So, that's a really good ending point, that the work's hard, but we have to begin, because really what we're looking for is overall better patient safety in the hospital, so that people have confidence in the healthcare system. And that's really a larger societal issue, balanced perhaps with individual desires to be compensated immediately or more easily for negligent errors.
Yes, I think that's exactly right. And one of the things we might look at is that if we were to have a system that were more efficient, the amount of money that the 65 cents out of every dollar that I mentioned,
right,
that we're now spending on process costs could be turned back into safety-directed and compensation costs. And so while there's no free lunch, this is just a lunch that might be divided more effectively.
So, excellent. Well, that wraps it up for us here on the docket today. I want to thank you, Ed Dower, for joining us, and thank
my
all
pleasure.
Of you for, and want to thank everybody else for tuning in. Don't forget to join us again next week for On the Docket. The show airs every Sunday at 4:30 on Long Island News 103.9. I'm Patricia Salkin. On behalf of Touro Law Center, have a great week.